Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
I'm amazing, right? He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And we got our good buddy David Dossi back on the show. David is an intellectual property attorney. You could also call him a patent attorney. That would be appropriate, although a little bit not that 21st century. But he does do patents, so I guess that makes it technically correct. He's also my intellectual property attorney, in the interest of full disclosure. And he's our good friend. He's also a partner in the firm of Gallagher and Dossi. David Dossi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good to have you back, and thanks for being here. We've got the new year coming up, and as my audience knows, as if you've been listening to my show for very long, you know how big a deal I think it is that small businesses pay attention to their intellectual property. I continue to remind people, David, that every year that goes by, we leverage it to execute on our business model. We leverage intellectual property more and physical assets and even people less than we used to. I mean, look what's going on right now. Let me quote a couple of statistics for you, David, to sort of prove my point. Unemployment is at a record high for many, many generations, but also it's over 10% right now. Everybody knows that. But what they might not know is that productivity is also up. Now, what does that tell you, David?
Yeah, people are getting more and more efficient with the tools they have.
Well, part of it is companies are getting more out of their people than they used to, because the people who are left are saying, okay, I'll work harder. Don't fire me. I'll work harder. But as you say, we're also learning how to leverage the tools. And companies, and that's going to be the trend for the recovery, isn't it? I mean, the first step in recovery for any company as they grow, as the economy picks up, the first thing is going to be a combination of giving people more hours, hiring part-timers back, and adding new technology. Don't you think?
Without a doubt.
And then the very last thing that they're going to do is hire a full-time employee.
Sure.
And we're all doing. I mean, everybody. It's not like some kind of a communist plot, is it, David? I mean, this is just. We have the technology in our hands. The new innovations are coming out, so we're going to be doing this, right?
Oh yeah. If I can buy a new computer system or a new telephone system that just reduces the amount of downtime that one of our employees has to spend, maintaining that system. And it's a fraction of the cost. Of course, I'm going to do that before I,
right,
bring in that person to maintain an antiquated system.
Especially as intellectual property, as technology and innovations, give us the ability to leverage those in areas that are not our core competencies.
Sure.
Things that are not directly connected to the customer. The more we can use it for those things, then the more we can leverage that and use our payroll resources on humans that do actually touch customers and actually do our core competencies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So understanding that, folks, and realizing that you are building intellectual property yourself. You're innovating yourself, whether you know it or not. David's going to talk to us about some ideas on how, on some goals for us, right, David, on some goals for the new year for our intellectual property. So what's the first thing we should think of?
Sure. Well, building on what you just discussed, you know, intangible assets, namely intellectual property, are assets just like your physical assets, and they have to be managed. So one way to think about it is sit down and figure out how much time you spend managing your physical assets. You know, at a large complex, you're going to have multiple managers that make sure the air conditioning equipment continue running, that the lawn service is done, the cleaning crew is managed, you know, but small businesses have all those same concerns. And if you're spending more time worrying about the management and making sure that your HVAC equipment or your cleaning crew is working out than you are thinking about your intellectual property, then it's time to make a change.
Absolutely. Hold on to that thought. We'll take a quick break. Right back with David Dossie. Going to talk some more about your intellectual property goals for 2010. Folks, don't zone out on me on this. This is not in the weeds. This is real stuff. This is part of your success, maybe even survival in 2010. 2010, stay with us.
Oh, I was warned about her love.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Little Robert Cray bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We built it so you could use it to your advantage. Whatever you got on your mind with regard to small business, we got something you can read or listen to there. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between. We've got something in those time slots that you can do. So check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there if you want. I'm at Jim Blassingame, all one word. David Dossie is our guest. He is our good friend and intellectual property attorney in residence at the Brain Trust, and the partner with Gallagher and Dossie. And we're talking about building, identifying, and following some intellectual property goals for 2009. David, continue, please.
Okay. Well, building on that last one,
which was
determining the amount of time you spend managing your tangible assets, your physical plant, versus your intangible assets, I often like to drive that home with clients by looking at the business owner and saying, you know, if you got a letter from your air conditioning equipment guy that said on January 15th, your air conditioning unit is going to explode unless you have someone come out there and work on it, and it's going to be non-repairable.
Right.
You know? Guess what? And if someone didn't react to that letter, the business owner would fire him.
Exactly.
Fire him immediately.
Exactly.
And or if your dentist said, you know, if you don't come in for your checkup by this date, you're going to lose your tooth and never be able to replace it. People don't pay any attention to those deadlines with respect to intellectual property. Or I shouldn't say people don't. The people that are successful with managing their intangible assets pay great attention to it, but majority of the population, you know, have a long way to improve with respect
right.
to that.
Well, of course, they could do like me and hire a fuss budget lawyer who bugs them till they do it, right?
Very well, that's why I bring that point up. That's why I'm losing my hair, and the hair I have that is all gray.
How much of your hair is gray because of me, David?
A small percentage, less than a square inch.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. No, seriously, folks, you have other people help you manage some of your assets and some of your business. You know, these are you and I. You know, David, the small business owners are not great at marketing because it's not something we're always trained at. We think we're good at it, but we're really not. We're not great at human resources because we don't do that much of it. We don't hire and fire and do that much of the professional human resources activity. So we need help with those things. And so if we need help, professional help with a lot of those areas, surely we need help with our intellectual property. And folks, this is a discipline. I'm going to say it again. This is a discipline that you really need to be focusing on more and more every day and get somebody to help you with it. David works with me. There are, how many IP attorneys are there? Thousands, right, across the country.
Oh, yeah. I think
so
there
there's somebody you can work with. And the good thing about how many do you think there are?
Probably 30,000 patent attorneys.
IP attorneys. And they could be anywhere, right? I mean, with IP, you don't have to be in the neighborhood like you do, like you need to with a real estate attorney. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Second point, key point, is budget for intellectual property protection, or even take that one step higher up and just say budget for legal services for your year, because there's
right.
no business that, you know, even us, we'd say, okay, this percentage of our income needs to be allocated to our
right.
marketing budget for this year.
Right.
You're going to have legal issues no matter how small the company. And if you budget for it, then when it comes up, you're less likely to not make that call
right.
to get advice.
Just stick an amount of money in there every month. Don't try to call the month. Don't try to say, okay, we'll probably need to do something in September, so here's $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever, stick it in there. Put an amount of money in there every month and let it accumulate, right?
Right.
I mean, as you say, budget for it.
Well, and just like with our computer system or our websites, I just know that over the course of the year, we're going to need this much money. Who knows when
right.
it's going to happen.
Right. You budget,
some years will be better, some years will be worse.
You budget for a computer replacement or whatever. We do maintenance on the buildings. We do that. So do the same thing for your legal, which we do here in our company. And, you know, we're not that sophisticated around here. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Another one is establish what you're going to do with each piece of intellectual property. And the reason I say that is, projects often are hot. They are popular for a very short period of time, and people will jump on it and protect the intellectual property or try to. And then once that project cools off or a new, hotter project comes along, then that one kind of gets pushed under the carpet. And there's a great book called Rembrandts in the Attic that talk about value of intellectual property that you're not taking advantage of that might have value to other people.
Somebody will steal it from you.
And
this
week I talked to a client who I reminded him about a maintenance payment coming up on a patent. He goes, oh, I sold that patent. I go, you did? He goes, yeah, you won't believe this. I sold it on eBay.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
What? How much did he get for it?
It was under, it was five-figure range.
Wow, so. Still.
Yeah, if it's something that you are not using and never plan to use.
You sold it on eBay. That blows me away, David.
Yep.
Apparently it blew you away, too.
Oh, it did, absolutely.
Had you ever heard of anything like that in your life?
Well, there are a lot of up-and-coming auction houses where now there are patent auctions.
Yeah, now I've heard of that. I've heard of patent auctions, but I never had heard of, I guess, I mean, why not, right?
Right.
All right, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come from our good friend David Dossie. He's giving us our track to run on for intellectual property goals for the new year. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back.
You still got to try. No matter what the people say.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. We got our good friend David Dossie back on the show. David is with Gallagher and Dossie, and that's an IP attorney. A patent attorney law firm, help you with your all your intellectual property requirements, whether it be patents, trademarks, all those things, right? Even helping them protect trade secrets, right, David?
Sure.
Because it might, you know, in IP doesn't mean that you tell everybody with a patent, right, Dave?
No, very true.
And so how do they find you?
Our website is invention-protection.com.
And you work across the country?
Yes.
So you don't really, not like, unlike a litigator, you don't have any boundaries?
No. Patent law is federal law.
It's federal,
we
so,
can
yeah.
practice across state lines.
I got you. Okay, so that's one good reason to go into patent law, right? You
yeah,
don't have to,
yeah.
Especially with today. So invention-protection.com. Check it out, folks. And as I've said, David is my attorney, my intellectual property attorney, and does a great job for us. David, continue with your tour of our goals for the new year.
Well, for 2010, one goal you should have is to either yourself or assign an employee the task of knowing what your competitors are doing with respect to intellectual property, because
how can you do that?
So much intellectual property protection, whether it's trademarks or patents, is all available online, and we've discussed before on a prior broadcast some simple resources where, you know, it doesn't take a genius. You can go figure this stuff out, and if you assign a person to devote 2 or 4 hours a month to look at your key competitors to see what patent applications have published in the past month, what trademark applications they're filing. You know, most people file trademark applications 6-12 months before they ever plan to launch a product. And,
right. You
know, it's not uncommon just from the name of the product, you can get an idea of what they have in store. And that often motivates people greatly.
Could I hire a patent attorney to do that for me?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And would I be able to count on that patent attorney not having a conflict of interest?
Well, you know, before they undertake you as a client, you know, that's something that any law firm will do, is do a conflict of interest check.
They'll have to know that, right? So that's something you should give you peace of mind, folks, that you know that's something you should ask about, though, right?
Sure.
So the reason I say that, you say either the employee or the owner does this, but you know, we're not that good at that. This is the kind of thing that you know, that to me, this would be money well spent to hire a law firm to do that, hire an IP attorney to do that. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I just didn't want to sound self-serving.
It's okay to be
people.
Sometimes crass commercialism is okay when it makes when it's a practical solution. Go ahead.
Okay. Another key point, 2010, carefully consider your use and implementation of non-disclosure agreements. And I can't emphasize enough, there is no such thing as a standard non-disclosure agreement. And I hear that all the time, that I'll say, well, did you sign anything? And I'll say, well, just so-and-so's standard non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
And I, you know, right then I know, there's going to be a problem.
So non-disclosure and non-compete, those are two different things, right?
Well, yeah, and what the common trend, which is sneaky, is someone will say, well, this is our standard non-disclosure agreement. And in that non-disclosure agreement, there could be one sentence or two sentences that effectively make it a non-compete agreement as well.
Right.
And that's fine if you know about it going into it, but if you learn that after the fact because you kind of were duped into thinking, oh, this is a generic non-disclosure agreement, then you're going to be really upset.
Especially when the best non-compete agreements are the shortest ones.
Sure.
A non-disclosure is often very wordy.
Right.
But a non-compete can be very short.
Right.
So it can be stuck in the fine print somewhere, couldn't it?
Oh, it happens every day.
So check on that. But have a good non-compete. And can you have a non-disclosure agreement that is sort of generic for you, and then you adjust it based on the circumstances?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Most commonly, you know, as with any negotiation, the party that has the power, if I'm pitching my services to you, you're generally going to force your non-disclosure agreement down
right.
my throat. And
right.
if I want to do business with you, I'm going to accept it, and hopefully we can work out the fine points and come to an agreement that's not too onerous on either of us.
Right.
But, you should always have kind of your standard one at hand to propose.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're the first person to propose it, the more likely your agreement will be used as kind of the template,
right.
and more likely things will weigh in your favor.
David, thanks for the report today. Thanks for giving us these goals, and let's continue to talk about this as the year goes by.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
David Dawsey, ladies and gentlemen, Dawsey, invention-protection.com is his website. Gallagher & Dawsey is the firm. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.